out the show, but it's time now to be joined by our guest today. He is, of course, a man who we love spending time with throughout the footballing season and in the off-season as well, funnily enough. He is a man who joins us, who graces us with his presence of footballing knowledge that spans the globe. Literally, quite literally the globe. He is, of course, Andy Brassel that joins us here today on WFD. Andy, how are you doing today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on board for the summer.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ollie. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well indeed. Struggling without the kind of fix of football. You know, we have to make do with these under-21 tournaments and they get depressing for us England football fans. And then we have to watch the Confederations Cup coming up instead. So it's good to have you on the show, mate, and to be going through this troubling time with you, mate. When you're in the off-season, first and foremost, do you let yourself get distracted at all by any of the American sports that are finishing? We've got the Stanley Cup Finals kicked off. We've got the NBA Finals going as well. Or are you just all straight, all football, all summer?
Well, there's still quite a lot going on, as you've touched on there, Ollie. I have a sort of resolution to get into NBA. I'm quite keen on getting into a sport with my son where we both start from zilch. I know absolutely nothing about NBA. My wife's already bagged the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we've got to grab a team each and then we're away. That's in the pipeline for the next season, I guess, in autumn.
Fair enough. I suppose it must be very difficult around the dinner table if you and your son are trying to have a football debate. And I guess for you, it's just, no, you're wrong, son. Sorry. This is how it actually is. I know. I'm the big bad Brassel. It will be the awkward look from the missus across the table that might take the ego down slightly with that. Let's get on to your specialist subject then. It sounds like mastermind this. Your specialist subject, of course, being football, association soccer, if you will. And let's talk about the under-21s tournament. Let's get this doom and gloom cloud out of the way. England youngsters, what is the problem here? Are we talking Stuart Pearce's problem? Are we talking fundamentals in the English game? Are we talking players who are at Premier League clubs but don't get enough experience during the season? Where does it all go wrong with these England youngsters?
Well, I think it's a more intrinsic thing to do with culture, really. It's not just Stuart Pearce, although I don't think he's a great coach by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that the fact that we don't take it as seriously as other nations really particularly helps. That it's seen as completely subordinate and not that important. People don't seem to really join the dots between the under-21s and the senior side. It's something we've had a problem with for ages. Even when we had a really good side under Peter Taylor, very few of those, apart from really Frank Lampard, made it through to be regulars in the senior side. I think you've got to question the coaching, the sort of players that are being produced, or the lack of players that are being produced. I think you have to look at some of the better players themselves and think, well, you know, if they aren't getting an opportunity in the English Premier League, why can't they go abroad? There are other competitive leagues out there where they can get paid quite nicely and be part of other great football cultures. And, you know, to go and get that experience elsewhere, I think, is something that's a benefit to the national side. But unfortunately, you can be paid a lot for maybe not being a regular first teamer in England, and a lot of people just choose to stay at home. So there are a lot of reasons.
You mentioned straight off the bat there was culture, and it's interesting when you look at some of these English players and you compare them to maybe some of the youngsters, the foreign youngsters that come into the Premier League. The guy that stands out for me was Lukaku this year, who said time and time again, even way back in kind of January, I want to play another year out on loan if I'm not going to get regular first team football at Chelsea. I want to improve by playing games. Whereas you look at these players like Sinclair, like Rodwell, who've gone off to places like Manchester City and are content to sit on the bench and don't seem to kick up too much of a fuss about wanting to go out and play football. How do we get that sort of mentality out of the English game? Because other teams are just reaping the benefits of these players that are desperate to become great players rather than money-rich players.
Well, there's very little you can do. I mean, you know, wages aren't going to fall overnight, and you know, you have to put it down to players' personal motivations. And in a situation like this, I always think of that documentary Orient for a Pound, where John Sitton, obviously throughout that comes across as a raging madman in the midst of a nervous breakdown. But, you know, as they say in With Nilan Dayi, even a stop clock tells the right time twice a day. And he says something in the middle of that, where he's in the middle of a swear run, and he says, good players want to be good players all the time. And don't you understand that? And he's quite aghast at his players. He says, examine the words. And he's absolutely right. Now, I think, you know, you see that in the desire of some of these other under 21 teams. You know, Marco Verratti's come off the back of a great season with PSG. He's been in the quarterfinals of the Champions League against Barcelona. He's not thinking he's too good for the under 21 tournament. Of course, in the previous edition, you had Juan Mata coming down off very little break, and coming from the Confederations Cup with the senior team to the under 21 tournament to captain them, and you know, really enjoyed being a part of seeing them to the 2011 championship. You know, I think there's something to be learned off those players and their attitudes, certainly.
Would you like to see a number of these players when you look at this England under 21 squad? There's so many from Tottenham, Liverpool, Manchester United. Would you like to see them move away from these clubs and get that playing experience? You compare it to the Italians, where a number of their players play week in, week out, but they play in Serie B, but the experience gives them so much more.
Well, I think Verratti is quite a good example, isn't he, of a player who was being lined up for Juventus, but chose Paris Saint-Germain, obviously like quite strongly for Carlo Ancelotti. But nevertheless, I think he could be a trailblazer, because it's helped him come on so much. And think, you know, he's a guy who hadn't played a top-flight minute before the start of 2012-13 season. Mm. And now, you know, he's an absolute titan, and big clubs all over Europe want him. And I think that different impetus, that different footballing culture is something that can really help a player grow.
What about these in Spain, for instance? We've got the Real Madrid B and the Barcelona B sides. Do you like that idea for some of these maybe bigger clubs in England to have that? It was discussed a while back, I believe. And do you think that's a way to help solve this problem as well, to get our youngsters playing more football in the season?
No, I don't think that's particularly practical, yes, given the structure and tradition of English football, because it's very different in the fact that, you know, teams in the Championship, League One, League Two, even in the Conference, are community hubs with great tradition. And I don't think they'd take the diluting of their image particularly well. Of course, the players can always be loaned to there. But you know, there's no reason that players shouldn't go off and experience stuff abroad, as I said, as well. You know, there are plenty of opportunities out there, and I don't think you know, that the B teams or development teams of the big clubs being slotted into the Championship or League One is going to particularly change that. Of course, there's already been the founding of the Barclays Under 21 Premier League, which has got off to a promising start. So that's an idea. But you know, I think for the moment we have to try and not react to in too much of a knee-jerk fashion to disappointments at tournaments, because I think it's something that's going to happen a lot more. And you know, I think we have to have a plan to produce better players, to produce better coaches. But I think we also have to realise that that's not something that happens overnight. That's something that happens over a number of years. And you know, that's something in the instant gratification culture that we have, that we've not really managed to cope with too well. And you know, that there's just a throwing the baby out with the bathwater every time there's a setback in a tournament, where there has to be a clear strategy in order to get on. But whether the Premier League is necessarily a good catalyst for that sort of thing, I'm not really sure that's the case.
The other teams, of course, in this under 21 tournament have been, some of these sides have been very impressive indeed. We mentioned the Italians and Verratti. You've got Spain, the Netherlands, Germany on their way out, but have still looked good. Who for you is the front running favourite out of these sides? Of course, Norway as well, going through with Italy from Group A.
Well, I think you have to say Spain are the favourites, because if you look at the squad and the fact that they dropped almost all of their first 11 against the Netherlands for the final game and in the group, and they came through with flying colours, really, with a really talented new set of players who were hungry and up for it and very, very good. You look at that depth and you think they're going to be very hard to beat. On the other hand, I've been very impressed with the Netherlands, and I thought they were a good bet before the start of the tournament. You know, they've self-consciously sort of copped out of that game with Spain, thinking maybe they'll play them again in the final. You know, they've not avoided the difficult semi-final because, of course, they've got Italy. And, you know, they're happy to deal with that. And, you know, you look at the experience that they're getting of playing in final tournaments, which is what counts. And, of course, England have done pretty well with qualifying tournaments, with the exception of the ones for Euro 2008 over the last 10, 12 years, ever since the start of the Sven-Göran Eriksson era. But, you know, it's the finals of tournaments that make great teams and, you know, that win the trophies that everyone wants to win. So I think you can't underestimate how important that sort of final tournament experience is. And that's something those players, and if you look at the Dutch squad, they have, I think, 58 senior caps between them, which is extraordinary. And, you know, there's no talk like I heard John Barnes, who I respect enormously and was probably my favourite England player ever, saying the other day, well, I don't think Jack Wilshere should be playing for the under-21s. Well, why not? How many major tournament finals has he played in? What reason is there that he shouldn't be out there? The only reason that he shouldn't be out there is that Arsene Wenger doesn't like it or thinks he should have a rest or whatever. You know, there's no one who's like, you know, too good for this. As I said, Juan Mata has shown in the past and these Dutch players are showing at the moment.
Does that come into it as well? Obviously, the domestic game has a huge impact on the international game. We all know that. But the fact that a number of these English players are coming from larger sides that might see them still as useful, maybe if the injuries are picked up during Champions League campaigns, etc. Whereas a lot of these players coming from Italy, from Holland and from Germany, aren't coming necessarily from the major sides, and there's more of a, if they go and get this experience in the summer, they can bring that back and it can be more beneficial for us at a club level.
Well, there are a lot of them who play for major sides, of course, and you know there are a lot of them who we've seen in the Champions League this season. Of course, you know, Lewis Holtby was out there as the captain of Germany as well, despite having played for the senior team. Alan Zagoyev was there for Russia. So you know, I don't think you can have too much experience of international football, especially when you're, you know, really playing for your team, what, 6-7 times a season maximum if it's a non-tournament year. And of course, you know, it's a great way not just for you know, players to improve just by playing. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But for, you know, other clubs, and you know, you have to look at Ajax and PSV and teams like that with great illustrious histories as sellers now, because that's what they are. It's a good opportunity for them to sell their players as well, for them to get them into the marketplace.
You say you see this Spanish side as being the favourites for the rest of this tournament, and Spain at the moment are favourites for probably any international tournament still, bar maybe the Germans. When you look at the Spanish under-21 side, though, do you see another almost genre-defining type side as this Spanish international team, senior team, has done over the last few years? Do you see another crop of players ready to take on that mantle, or some of these guys at least ready to come in and fill in the gaps as that Spanish side gets older?
Well, it's hard to know, Ollie, because they're so young, and you know, it's easy to forget because it feels like they've been amazing forever. That Xavi and Iniesta were young once, you know, because they dominate the game so much, and you know they deserve to. They've been amazing. It's very, very hard to imagine, you know, anyone producing relentlessly on that level. Like going back to that theme of great players wanting to be great players all the time, not just the ability, not just the consistency, but the hunger to breed that consistency, I think is very important. So we can't really tell, but I think there are a lot of players who could be, you know, look very promising in that sort of area. I think you have to look at Insulalde of Real Sociedad, who's been amazing throughout this season, especially the second half of the season. He's probably been the player of the under 21 tournament so far. Thiago Alcantara, the captain, who I think you can see taking a bit of pressure off Xavi as the years go by at the heart of the Barcelona midfield. That's something I think that will be required sooner rather than later, because I don't think Xavi can go on playing 60 matches a season. You know, there are a lot of players who can step in, but of course, until they're playing regularly for the very top teams, you can't tell.
Andy, just before we let you go, there are, of course, some big stories coming around senior European football and, of course, transfers left, right and centre, transfer rumours coming through. Do you see Gareth Bale, and I hate to bring it up because it's the story that seems to be on the front page, the front of the back page is day in, day out at the moment in England, but do you see Gareth Bale actually leaving Tottenham this summer, with PSG and Real Madrid both seemingly offering £85 million for it?
I'm not sure. I think he knows what a good thing he's on at Tottenham. I think he knows that Villas-Boas has added an enormous amount to his game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. No one's saying Gareth Bale wasn't a great player before, but he certainly added something to him. But, you know, he was almost the coach that he's been waiting for, just as Bale is the sort of player that Villas-Boas always wanted in terms of his dynamism, in terms of the way he gets the ball from back to front so quickly. And I think Bale knows that, you know, he's at the centre of something in perhaps a way that he never will be again at Tottenham. You know, to be the centre of things at Real Madrid, for example, like he is at Spurs, I don't think is entirely likely, especially if they keep Cristiano Ronaldo. So I would like to believe that he knows that maybe a season or two more at Tottenham is good for him. And, that, you know, they're building something very exciting, very dynamic there. Ultimately, if they get a big enough offer, maybe they'll want to sell him, and maybe they'll want to use it to restructure the team even further, because I know they have like substantial transfer funds to try and improve things next season anyway. I think the fact they didn't make the Champions League is obviously not particularly helpful in that direction. But, you know, I would be hopeful from his development perspective and from a Tottenham's development perspective that he'd hang on a little longer.
It was important for Tottenham fans. We heard about him saying that AVB gets the best out of me, Gareth Bale saying that the other week in the press. AVB's name just, you know, a few days after that was suddenly linked with the PSG job after that as well. Is this maybe a desperate way for PSG to try and lure Bale in by trying to bring AVB in and unsettle him at Tottenham?
It's an interesting idea, but I think they're just running out of managers to ask, frankly. You know, this is something that's holding up Ancelotti going. There's talk that maybe they're holding on to the 20th when Leonardo's got his appeal hearing for barging that referee. They're hoping maybe he'll get that 9-month ban reduced or even got rid of, so he'll be free to take over the first team next year, which I don't think is anything really more than a stopgap, an insurance policy until they get a coach that they're really happy with. But I think it's abundantly clear by the way that PSG's players are talking, and, you know, we're talking about the big guns, guys like Ibrahimovic, Thiago Silva, how important Ancelotti is to the project and how important he was in attracting those players and making them build something of substance there. It was interesting in their the close of season presentation, when they got up onto the stage, they gave Zlatan the microphone to say a few words. The only words he said in French were to Ancelotti. He said, "Reste ici, stay here." And you know, he was coming out at that moment and saying, "Look, this guy is so important to us," and he was trying to, I guess, put a bit of pressure on him to say he would stay, which looks unlikely at the moment, but you know, they've got a very, very difficult job replacing him, and not just because they've tried to hang on to him and thus missed out on a few targets. But again, I think Villas-Boas owes Spurs a sort of debt of gratitude. I could understand why people would be interested in him, but you know, I think he leapt from Porto a little bit quickly, and he's not going to make that same mistake again.
Yeah, and also it's been an incredible recovery and turnaround, and kind of winning the hearts and minds of the English press and football fans after that disaster at Chelsea. Yeah. What he's done at Tottenham. Andy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you for 20 minutes or so on the show, mate, and we do appreciate you taking that extent of time with us today. We will let you get back to the summer of work that, if football never stops, I guess you don't either as well, mate.
That's right. Well, I look forward to speaking to you soon.
And hopefully we'll be able to catch up at some point when the season starts as well. Mr. Andy Brassel, thank you so much for joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things European under-21s, championships, and a little bit as well on Andy's thoughts on Gareth Bale and his decision potentially to go to Real Madrid or to PSG, as we'll be talking about a little later on in the show. But it's about time.